What is up, degenerates? We are into week two. Hopefully you did better than I did in week one and actually won some of your matches. Had a pretty bad week for me for week one, but it's all looking up from here. Joined tonight by my co-host Ben, Mr. Rockstar. How you doing tonight, Ben?
I'm doing great tonight. Watching the game. Let's see what happens with these Chiefs and these Chargers. Was hoping for a big slugfest tonight. Had a good week one. Won my matchup in the listener league. So it's off to a good start this year.
Good. You need it after last year. I know Brian also won his matchup this year. I think Eric won his as well. So I was the only loser from the show, but you'll have that. We're also joined tonight by a friend of the show, Rye Bread, Ryan Roloff. Ryan, how you doing tonight? Resident Chargers fan.
Go Chargers. Doing great.
And our fourth guest, yes, we're doing a new four, is Tim Howe. Tim is our resident Chiefs fan. Tim, how you doing?
Doing pretty good. Be doing a little bit better if the Chiefs weren't down by 10 right now.
Yeah. It's not a Cinderella story if they don't come from behind, right?
Everybody knows touchdowns look better when you pass into triple coverage.
So everybody hopes we have a good game tonight. Go Chiefs. So we're gonna start tonight with some injury news. We had a lot of injuries in week one, which I guess was kind of expected because we didn't have that many in preseason. So
the injury report.
First up for injuries, we're just going to lump all of Tampa Bay into one conversation. So Godwin is dealing with a hamstring injury, which I kind of expected. It usually happens after somebody comes back from an ACL. Mike Evans has a calf injury. I believe he's going to play. Julio's got a knee injury. He did not practice the last 2 days, so he may not play. Russell Gage has a hamstring injury as well. He was limited today in practice, today being Thursday. And I believe also that Lenny Fournette has a hamstring injury. He was also limited today. So who do you guys think? I don't think Godwin plays. I don't think Julio plays. So I think you have Evans, Gage, Fournette plays. And then who else do you look for in that offense to catch passes this week? Ben?
You got to kind of lean on Brate a little bit, I believe. Evans obviously is going to get his targets. And if Gage does make it out there, I think he's going to have a good week, just being the number two target for that offense. Lenny will get his targets as well. But yeah, the tight end position, Tom Brady likes his tight ends. You got to kind of go look at which one last week, and I believe that was Cameron Brate. So that's where I would be looking as a streamer. If you can grab a tight end streamer, if you're hurting that position, it's probably a good way to go.
Yeah, Brate probably a reasonable option. Tim, any different perspective?
No, I think, you know, we've saw several people sit out yesterday. Most people got back today, I think, other than Julio. So I'd expect Gage to play. Got to watch Julio tomorrow, see if he participates or not. I'd say he's really the only one that's questionable. Godwin's definitely out. I think Fournette's definitely in. I think Gage will play. I think Perriman will play. I think Evans will play.
Yep, I think so too. Ryan, anything different on those guys?
I mean, yeah, I think everyone's probably going to show up except for Godwin. Rashard Perriman might be a good little pickup too, but I would just bet on, you know, Evans, Gage, and Fournette. Fournette has that little injury, so White might be somebody to kind of look at for, you know, some targets. But yeah, I think it's just going to be a repeat of last week.
Yeah, I would think so too. So one thing while we're talking about Evans, in the last seven games, he's had one or two catches, and I think like two that he's had a touchdown in. Do you guys have any worry about him starting him this week against the Saints?
I think if Godwin was playing, Julio was playing, and all those other options were out there, I might be a little bit more worried, but I think they're going to have to force feed him the ball. So he's going to have a tough matchup with Lattimore, but I don't know. Mike Evans, it's hard to bet against the guy. Like, he gets his targets, he gets his touchdowns. Like, even last year, I think he had a couple games where he only had two or three catches with two touchdowns. Like, I don't know.
One of those games, actually, but I think both two of those games were against the Saints last year.
Right. Yeah. So, like, he comes through. If Godwin was out there getting his normal targets, Julio was out there stealing some away while Evans is getting locked up by Lattimore, then I might be a little more worried. But I think they kind of have to. So they're going to come through to him eventually. Just kind of my thoughts on it. It's hard to sit him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would definitely start Mike Evans, but it's crazy. You look at the numbers of Lattimore against top receivers, and pretty much for the last year, he's shut just about everybody down. I don't think he's let up more than five catches or more than 60 yards to really any receiver that he's played shadow coverage on. So that's definitely a little scary, but I don't see any way you can bench Mike Evans. Can't play scared.
So T. Higgins, concussion. Right now, the information I have says he's going to be out. He didn't practice today for personal reasons. What are you guys seeing about T. Higgins? Is he out? Is he in? What do you guys think? And if he is in, do you play him?
I think you got to cover your bases. Make sure you have a backup option if he ends up not going. But yeah, you've seen that he looks like he's going to be out. I've seen kind of a little bit of the opposite. It looks like he's trending towards playing. So as a T. Higgins owner, some places I'm optimistic. I've left him in the lineup at the moment, but have definitely been scouring my roster for options if he does sit. Like, can I move him out through a flex spot and get a running back in? Just be ready. That's all I can really say about him. If he plays, you got to play him. If not, fire up Tyler Boyd.
Yeah, Tyler Boyd's an absolute start if he misses. Ryan or Tim? Yeah,
don't forget Hurst. I would say Hayden Hurst is a great pick this coming up soon. I mean, even with everybody there, like, he got like five or six targets. So
yep.
It's always a good sign that going forward he's going to be in the plans. So if T. Higgins out, I would Boyd and Hurst, yep. Man. Definitely play him.
I think so as well. I mean, Uzama had weeks last year where he was – extremely fantasy relevant. I mean, one week he single-handedly won me the week with like a 40-yard touchdown and then another big like 45-yard catch or something like that. So
no, he had two touchdowns in that game.
That's what it was.
Yeah. And I set like the perfect GPP lineup, and I'm like, I put CJ Uzoma the first in my lineup that week. And then at the last minute, I'm like, no, this is just stupid. He hasn't done anything all year. And I pulled him out, and I would have won. Like, I wouldn't have won first place, but I would have won like $2,000 or something like that if I would have left him.
Yeah, that sucks. I had to put him into my super flex because he was the last player I had that hadn't played. So I threw him in there, and I ended up winning the week with the big plays and the touchdowns. So
I wouldn't say that's crazy look there, Steve. I mean, for you to be able to do that, that's just like on point.
Sometimes everybody gets a little bit lucky. You know what I mean? So. All right, so we'll move on to Elijah Mitchell. Suffered MCL sprain. Good news is no surgery. 6 to 8 weeks is probably what he's going to be out with rest. They believe he should be able to heal and be back on the field. So that's good news for Mitchell owners and the San Francisco running game. So who do you guys like this week as far as San Francisco running backs? Ben?
Debo Samuel is the correct answer, but yeah, I don't know. It's got to be Jeff Wilson. You think he's got the experience in that offense? I think he was the waiver claim everybody was running for.
Yeah,
I've had Elijah Mitchell on some teams. I backed him up in deeper leagues with TDP, but I don't know if he's going to get it. Who knows? They say they're going to run with the hot hand. Might be a situation to avoid if you don't absolutely have to pick up a running back. But I think if you need to start one of the two guys, you kind of have to start. you got to start Jeff Wilson.
Yeah, I think you got to go with Jeff. Tim, what's the over-under on number of plays before Jeff Wilson's hurt?
I mean, I think it's got to be one, right?
I would hope so. but you never know. He could he could trip coming out of the tunnel and be out. It's San Francisco running backs.
I think Jeff Wilson is I think he'll be just fine. I think like Ben said, he's really the only guy you can bet on. Sure, if you want to stash somebody else, go for it, but he's the only guy you're starting out of that backfield.
Yeah. He's had success in the past, so I feel fairly confident having to start him, especially against Seattle this week. It's just a matter of none of those guys seem to be able to stay healthy. They get one or two games, and then they end up being out. So that's kind of, I think, the biggest concern. But like two years ago against Seattle, he had a pretty decent game, 20 carries for 76 and a touchdown, and some receiving work with a touchdown. So
you got some breaking news on the show, Steve. Injury news.
Who got hurt?
Clyde Edwards-Helaire stepped on at the end of that play. Isaiah Pacheco came into the game. Yeah. No idea if it's if it's anything real or not.
McKinnon on the third.
CEH is a bum. I guess we do got to talk about him, Ben.
No.
Put him back in.
Put him back in the injury report. We took him out because they're playing, but might have to put him back in.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
All right. So we'll move on to Chargers are doing what Chargers do, giving the game away to the Chiefs. I like it. So we're going to move on to Najee Harris. He's got a foot injury. Most likely he plays. He's been limited this week in practice, but he's trending towards a limited role against the Patriots. I think probably after the first or second series that the Steelers will be up by 14 and they'll be able to set him for a while. So I don't think Najee will be that limited by the foot. Ryan, what do you think about Najee this week?
I think, like you mentioned, I think he's going to play. I mean, and he might not be picked, you know, like as much in the passing game, obviously, but he'll be there for blocking and we'll put him in. I mean, Jaylen Warren is not going to, I know a lot of people were picking him up, but I don't think he's going to get that much work. So,
yeah, I think Warren's more the handcuff just in case he actually sat out, but. I don't think he gets that much work.
But I definitely think it's not something that's going to generate a lot of points for him. I don't think he's going to be back into running or doing much. I think he'll just be in the game, you know, there for certain moments and blocking, but that'll be about it.
Yeah, I think so. Ben, anything on Najee?
No, not really. He's going to play. That's all you really want to know is your stud running back going to be in the game? It's a foot. It did knock him out, I think, the rest of that game. But it's week one. Teams are going to be a little bit more conservative. Not super concerned about Najee Harris.
All right. We will move on to J.K. Dobbins. The knee injury, he's returned to full practice this week. I would expect that he plays, sees his first action here in week two. Tim, what are your expectations on Dobbins and the Baltimore offense with him in it?
I think, I agree with you. I think Dobbins is probably going to play this week. I don't expect him to get the majority of the snaps this week. I think they'll ease him back in. But I think had the game gone a little different last week, they might not have even played him this week. But it's just clear they couldn't run the ball. Not even Lamar had any success running the ball. Not that he had that many carries. But I think they need him. They're going to work him back in. I'd say he probably plays like 40 to 50% of the snaps. I don't think he'll do much for fantasy unless he gets a couple of goal line carries and just falls into the end zone.
Yeah. What about I see when I look at the depth chart, obviously Mike Davis was ineffective last week, which was expected by any of the people that listen to the show and know how much I hate Mike Davis after he burned us last year.
You called that.
Justice Hill's kind of the same boat. So what do we think of Kenyon Drake this week? Do we think he kind of goes with the 50-50 split with Dobbins, or do you think it's Dobbins at 50% and then the other three guys get a little bit and Lamar takes the rest?
Yeah, I think if Dobbins clears the injury report altogether, like he's not on it as limited, he's not on it as anything going into Saturday.
He was a full participant today.
Yeah. But if he stays off it, is kind of what I mean. Like no setbacks, nothing. I think he's going to get full set of snaps. I think he's going to play. Just they need to run the ball. It's what that team does. I'd hold Drake if you picked him up or you drafted him late. I think you got to kind of hold on to him just because re-injury, especially with knees, is prominent. Yeah, I don't know. It'd be nice to see Dobbins get back. It's a good story to come back from. But yeah, as far as Drake goes, I have him in places. I obviously can't play him this week, but you got to keep an eye on it.
Yep. So we'll move on to DeAndre Swift with an ankle injury. Most likely he's going to play through that. He had it, the third quarter last week, I think. Something like that, third quarter, early fourth quarter. He ended up playing through it. So I don't think it's anything to be overly concerned of. I think a little bit of rest during the week, and he should be back to normal on Sunday. Are we concerned at all with the Swift ankle injury? Is there going to be an uptick for Jamal Williams, Ben?
Yeah, I think you'll see a little bit. You can't just ride your horses when they're hurt into the ground every week. Not everybody's Christian McCaffrey.
Obviously, you didn't hear Dan Campbell's announcement speech when he first joined Detroit. They're going out to kneecaps and getting it back up after more kneecaps.
They missed the kneecap and they hit the ankle.
I like to ride that horse to the ground.
I liked Jamal Williams before the injury, but I definitely think he's going to get an uptick. I think he'll see a little bit more goal line work. They might try to get him in there between the tackles, but Swift will still get his pass catches. He'll still get his yards. You might miss a touchdown this week, but not too concerning. And as long as he's still out there, he's still playing, you'll be fine.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, 15 carries last week for 140 yards and then another three catches. So
that backfield has a nice healthy split. I like it.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, it's funny. So I love Jamal Williams. I think he's the perfect running back to just stash on the bottom of your bench and just see what happens. If you have to plug him in, you can. But it's funny. It's to me, Kenyon Drake, we just talked about, he's just drop him. He's not going to do anything. I would tell you that he had 11 carries for 31 yards last week. So who cares? But I love Jamal Williams, but it's kind of funny. Jamal Williams had 11 carries for 28 yards. Yeah, so it's one of those things completely unbacked up by facts, but it's just how I feel, man.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, Kenyon Drake has been a lead back and has burned everybody. Jamal Williams has always been the second guy, and you always expect second guy numbers from him. So you're not as passionate about him as you are, with getting burned by Drake. So I get it.
Yeah. He was drafted ahead of Aaron Jones, though.
Yeah.
And then the team just loves him, I mean, watching Hard Knocks, how much they love Jamal is just, they're always going to get him in there.
Yeah.
How can you not like that guy?
Yeah. I mean, he's definitely was a guy this year that I was trying to grab later just to have on my bench just in case I needed him with a little bit of flex value. So.
Clyde's back in the game, by the way.
He sucks. He'll probably score two touchdowns now. So we'll move on to Alvin Kamara, who's still suffering from the rib injury, limited in practice. I believe he's still going to play. They'll probably throw a flak jacket on him. He'll play through it as long as he can tolerate the pain. But I do think he's a little bit limited as far as his upside this week against the Buccaneers defense, not only because of the defense but also because of the ribs. Tim, do you have any concerns with Kamara? Are you still – I mean, you kind of still got to roll him out, right, because of where you drafted him?
Yeah. If he's out there, you start him. I think he'll probably be out there. I am concerned about him from, a fantasy perspective. I'm not really concerned about his injury. He played enough snaps that he'll probably be okay, but that's just not what you want to see from him, not getting the targets.
Yeah.
Mark Ingram being out there as much as he was. We'll see how week two goes, but definitely something I'm watching close.
Yeah, me too. Ryan, anything different?
No, actually, you guys pretty much said it. So, I'm halfway distracted with.
No worries. That's four of us. We can get coherent thoughts out of two or three. We're good.
Watching.
I'm getting upset over here.
Watching Mahomes just march down the field is mesmerizing. I get it.
I'm just looking at it. I'm like, dude, the Chargers defense just seems too eager right now. I'm just like, dude, calm down. That's your guys' problem right now.
Is that somebody should let them know that Travis Kelce is still playing for the Chiefs, that they didn't trade him with Hill. But so we'll move on to the we'll stay within the Saints, and we'll move on to Jameis Winston and a back injury. I don't think this really affects him that much this week. Obviously, it's something that happened during the game last week and didn't seem to affect him a whole lot. We know like Stafford played through a back injury for the entire season, 2 years ago, so it's probably a pain management thing. Ben, you have any concerns with Winston other than the normal concerns with Winston?
No, I like Jameis. I think he'll be fine this week. His targets are still healthy, so in that game, I think he's got that advantage. Most places you're looking to play him, he's either a streaming option or he's a super flex option. And if you don't have a third quarterback, you got to play him. Then you can pretty much roll him out there with confidence. Like, I'd get him out there over Baker, over Matt Ryan. Probably get him out there over maybe Russ. Russ had a garbage week. I think I want to see a little bit more out of him before I rush him back into my lineup if I have the option. Not too concerned. A back injury didn't seem to get him off the field. Those are the back injuries you're really looking at. And then throwing arm, which is fine. So, yeah. Not too concerned about Jameis Winston.
All right.
Yeah. I mean, I think the Saints are gonna beat the Buccaneers for sure. Wait, no, are they playing again this week, right?
No,
they're playing. No, they play this week.
Yeah, this week. I just think I think the Bucs defense is gonna be pretty brutal for Winston, but for some reason, I think they're gonna take the W. And I think Winston's gonna do a lot better this week.
Would you say he's gonna eat the W?
He has the best interviews in the league.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And how he dressed. Oh, man. He's funny. He's a funny guy.
So you got your elbows? You got your knees?
Yeah, he's definitely a character. So we're going to move on to Michael Pittman, who has a quad injury. The information I see is that he's most likely not going to play. He practiced limited on Wednesday, did not practice at all on Thursday. They may err on the side of caution with him. If he does play, it's probably he's dealing with a quad bruise, and he may just be limited on the offense depending on pain management. But I don't know this early in the season that they want to rush him out there if they don't need to. So is there any... I mean, obviously, there's a concern if he doesn't play for the week because where you drafted him, you kind of need the guy in there. Tim, do you think there's any reason to believe he doesn't play? Or are you monitoring this tomorrow to see if he practices and then looking for an alternative?
Yeah, for me, like, unless there's just clear signs, I'm basically always going to assume that the guy's going to play. Like, that doesn't mean just, you know, from a fantasy perspective, ignore your options. Like, you definitely need to start preparing. What if Michael Pittman doesn't play? But to me, it's if he gets in a limited session tomorrow, then I think he's going to go. If he doesn't practice again tomorrow, then he's out. So it all hinges on that for me.
Yep. I would say the same. Ben, anything?
Yeah, obviously if he's playing, you got to play him, but, just a sneaky little like DFS guy you could add if he doesn't play would be a guy like Ashton Doolin, who had 3 catches last week for 46, but I think he had like 6 targets or something like that. Which is good. And, it looks like he might be playing past Paris Campbell for the 3 spot for the 2 or 3 spot with, Alec Pierce. Yeah, I like that option with Doolin.
Yeah, I like that
too. Yeah, no, he would be a sneaky DFS play, yeah, for sure. We'll talk about... Go ahead.
I was say Pierce is trending to be out, isn't he?
I believe that Pierce is trending to be out as well. We did not mention that, but I do believe that he's trending to be out, which
Dude, Hines all day.
I would say if Pittman and Pierce are both out, I don't know that I feel comfortable yet with Paris Campbell. He hasn't shown it. The talent was there when he was drafted. We'll have to see. But I do think that Hines is probably a guy that you might want to consider flexing if those two guys are out, because he's definitely going to get a decent amount of passing work.
Yeah, if both those guys sit out in a couple of deep leagues I'm in, I probably will start Paris. But all I'm really hearing from this is don't start Matt Ryan this week.
That's don't start Matt Ryan at all this season.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people are going to be starting him with the matchup.
It's a very soft matchup, and I think so too. But I think that I do think Matt Ryan is probably going to be a trap if Pittman doesn't play. They'll lean more on the running game.
So you think think Cooper Rush over Matt Ryan and SFB? Oh,
God.
Jags to cover, that's all.
That's gross. If you have to play Cooper Rush and SFB, you might as well just fold, Tim. I would play Matt Ryan, but that's rough. That's very rough. So we'll move on to Alan Lazard with the ankle injury. He was limited on Thursday. If he can get in another practice, I believe he'll play. I actually do believe he's going to play this week, which will help Aaron Rodgers. He'll get one of his familiar targets back against the Bears. I think this week will be a much better game. He's got another week with the younger receivers. He gets Lazard back. Tonyan's got another week, back from his injury. So any concerns at all with Lazard, guys, if he does play, are you kind of leery to start him, or are you going to fire him right up? Ben?
Oh, fire him up. Like, the options last week for Aaron Rodgers were awful. He needs somebody back that he knows, and I think he's going to pepper. Like, you'll see Lazard getting the kind of targets that Devontae Adams got last week with the Raiders. Like, every play is going to him. There's no, like, I don't know. They didn't feature the running backs in the passing game the way I thought they were going to. The passing game with the rookies didn't work out. It didn't work out with anybody. Fire him up.
I also think Tonyan is going to get a good amount of looks too. I feel like you mentioned, once you're in the doghouse with him, Christian Watson won't be featured whatsoever in that game.
Well, so. As we missed a pass in the first quarter, they had the running play with him, and then Rodgers did actually throw to him towards the end of the game, which he caught on the sidelines. It was a tough throw, tough catch. So Dobbs had a couple of catches. He's going to work him in because he doesn't really have a choice, but it's going to be one of those, if Watson catches that pass in the first quarter for what should have been a touchdown, I think he gets a ton more targets, but when he missed that, he basically disappeared for three quarters of football. So Rodgers is very untrusting, and he's going to go with the guys he knows. I mean, he threw a couple passes to Cobb, but even Randall Cobb didn't get a ton of targets. So I think they missed Lazard. I think the offense just didn't flow the way they expected it to without Lazard there. Even with the running game, it didn't look that great. It just looked like everybody was a little bit off. So hopefully this week they get back on track, which I think they will against the Bears. And I don't expect that game to be very close. We'll move on to George Brittle. As I know, everybody in the fantasy community is shocked that Kittle is hurt again. He's still dealing with the groin injury. I believe that he is doubtful for this week's game. I don't see that he's practiced at all this week yet. Is that correct, Ben?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he's still sitting. They're still trying to figure that out. I think you got another two more weeks probably of them taking their time with him. You got to hold him, obviously. It's George Kittle. When he plays, he's one of the best. It's just really frustrating, especially if you drafted him anytime early. yeah, I don't know what else to say. It's just super frustrating with the guy because you want him out there because he can steal you weeks. But it's yeah. Hopefully they let him. They don't rush him back. They get him back for extended period of time when he does come back. But definitely pivot off, continue to stream that position, and hold strong.
Yeah. Some members of this podcast told you not to draft him because he's broken. But some members of this podcast still drafted him, didn't they, Ben?
Did I draft him or did I trade for him? There's a difference. Well, I was drafting Waller.
Is there, though? Is there? Because if you traded for him, you knew better even more because you paid up.
It was in Dynasty. I was going full self for championship. My team's still really good. I can hold on and wait it out.
Is that the team that you just traded with me for?
Yeah, to get more.
To get a tight end because George Brittle's broken?
Yeah, I just need Kittle back week 10, and we'll be sailing into the playoffs. We'll be good.
Did you trade for Kittle from me, too, in that same league?
I did.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
So
I bought.
I win team. That trade by a long ways. Ryan, any thoughts on Kittle from the resident Californian?
I mean, like you mentioned, when he's on the field, it's just like pure dominance, but the guy's never there. I mean, the best availability is availability. So I'm glad I didn't touch him whatsoever in any redraft league, but I do have a couple dynasties where I have him still. I was lucky to trade him off in one of our leagues that we're in together, Steve. Yeah. So I was able to get a first and I forget what else, first Palmer and somebody, I don't know. I was lucky for that. Just avoid for a while. He won't be playing this week, probably not even the next.
Yeah, I would hope that it's week 4. Tim, anything else on Brittle?
Nope. Probably don't start him this week.
He's no Travis Kelce, right?
Nobody is.
We'll move on to Dak Prescott. Broken thumb, out 6 to 8 weeks. Unfortunately, if you own any Dallas players other than probably Dalton Schultz, and even then, I'm scared to start Schultz this week with Cooper Rush. Are you guys starting any Cowboys? Tim?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you drafted CeeDee Lamb, I don't see how you can bench him this week. Like, maybe you've got somebody deep, like maybe a Juju in this game that, you know, you would start over him. But unless you've got just surefire options, I mean, he still had, what, 9 targets last week?
Yeah, but that was, Dak played most of the game because he didn't get hurt until the fourth quarter. So,
but just the receiver core so inept, you just hope for volume. You know, it's not going to be efficient, but I just don't see how you bench him unless you just have other real solid options.
Yeah, those eight man leagues, they could probably bench CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah, those are my favorite.
I think you still start Schultz. Tight ends are always good for quarterbacks as a safety net. He'll get his targets, but most definitely heartbreaking for Dallas fans. But it sucks for a lot of fantasy people who are banking on big Zeke weeks or big CeeDee Lamb weeks to help them. Zeke's value is in the tank without Dak's threat of passing and running kind of kills him. He'll still get his carries, but the yards per carry is going to go down. And you can't really start any of the other wide receivers on that team. So basically start Schultz. You got to play Lamb for the draft capital you spent on him and hope he gets his volume. Other than that, try to trade Zeke if you can before the bad games start.
Yeah. I don't think Zeke will be too bad. Like going forward, but this week.
This week's a bad matchup anyways.
That front seven.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about Ryan? What about Tony Pollard? Are you even considering flexing him at this point?
I would not. I mean, his efficiency last week was just terrible. I mean, honestly, he looked worse than Zeke last game. And Zeke was fine, but with no offensive line, you're missing your big stars. Yeah, Tony Pollard is just somebody I wouldn't even. I'd put him on the bench for now until they figure stuff out. Hopefully later. Hopefully sooner than later, but most likely later.
Yeah.
Yeah, I started Pollard in four leagues last week, and he's found his way to the bench in all four of those this week.
As he should be.
It made me wonder because I had an idea of, like, I understand their offensive line is trash right now, but they have two decent running backs that can do stuff. Like, can they switch it to a run first team for a little while? Is that possible with a weak offensive line?
I don't think McCarthy's got that type of coach. I think they could. I definitely think they could and feature the run more, but I don't know if he has the offensive style to do that. So that would be my concern with that.
Yeah, you kind of have to have a really good defense to be a heavy run first team, because if you get behind and you can only run the ball, or that's your only game plan, you get track meter really quickly.
Yeah. No, I would agree with that completely. While we're on the subject of Dallas, Michael Gallup is with the knee, coming off the knee surgery, is back practicing in pads this week. So I would look for him. I don't think I'd look for him this week, but probably next week to potentially make his comeback. Anything on Gallup that you guys have heard different from that?
No, not that I heard different. I do like the strategy of trying to grab a guy on waivers for free or on free agency for free. The week before they come back, if you can manage to do that, that's probably a game plan. But I would normally save that for guys on offenses that I'm going to like. And the Dallas offense, like I said, after the Dak injury, is basically out the window for me.
I feel like Gallup was pretty heavily drafted, though, too. So I don't know that he's out there, but definitely worth taking a look at now just to see if he is there, grabbing him and stashing him, you know, for a couple of weeks from now.
Yeah, I see that. I mean, like, in our redraft league, what, we have one IR spot. I feel like one or two has been pretty, it's pretty average. So I don't know if I would waste that with Gallup right now. I mean, I'd put him back on there and just try to be that early one, you know, a week or two out, and just get him back on there. But
yeah, the unfortunate thing is he's not listed as out right now. So he's doubtful.
Yeah.
At least on Sleeper. So
you can't IR him. Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah, I wouldn't even touch him. Drop him, forget about him.
Yeah, he has. We've been waiting for the breakout. It hasn't happened yet. So without Dak, I don't know that it happens this year either. Maybe late in the season, but it's, if you have the extra spot, I'd take him. If you're limited on IRs, I probably wouldn't. I'd probably wait and see what happens when he comes back. So the last injury that we have, and this was a recent one, this came up today, is Dontrell Hilliard with a hamstring injury. I believe that this was something that happened in practice. I don't have a lot of information on this. I think, Ryan, you're the one that brought this up. Do you have any?
So supposedly, yeah, he pulled a hammy, I guess, during last game, towards the end of it, from what I've read, and just has been, you know, recovering from there. Hammies are so weird. It's like you never know if they're actually going to play. I mean, and then the Titans offense, I have no idea. Besides, you know, Mr. King Henry, like, what do you do with it right now? Like, your pass game is just all over the place. So I know I grabbed him in a couple leagues. So when I found out about this today, I was kind of a little sad about it, because I thought he would be a good dump off person, you know, with no receivers. But now I'm kind of skeptical if picking up is even worth the chance, you know, worth the chance that he gets more targets this week.
I mean, Henry didn't look that great last week either. And Hilliard had the week with the touchdowns. But, I mean, it seems obvious to me that he's the number two guy behind Henry. So he's probably a guy you want to own if Henry gets hurt. But is he a guy you want to hold on to if he's going to be limited this week? Or are you going to want to look for another guy on waivers and you know, try to grab Hilliard if Henry does get hurt later on? Tim?
Yeah, I if I'm in a shallow league, like less than 10 bench spots, probably I'm not holding Hilliard. I'd maybe try to pick him up next week. But just, he's a backup running back. You're already counting on an injury to get him playing time. You know, he's hurt, so I don't see any point in holding on to him.
Yeah. Anything different, Ben?
No, like he only had 8 rushing yards, and that's with Henry struggling. He only had 3 catches. Like he turned them into something big, but you can't count on that magic plays every week. If he was getting volume, or if he was consistently getting, like if he had maybe 6-7 catches, that'd be better. Even if the touchdowns weren't there, at least that's showing volume. Especially with running backs, that's more important. So unless Henry goes down completely, and even then, they might not use him in that role because he's not a super efficient runner. They might use Hassan Haskins in that role. Who knows? Don't like the offense, and you can't really count on those big plays every week. Like DFS, or if you have him in best ball, like that's good because you're going to get those every once in a while. He might have got you your 1 week win right there, but can't count on that.
Yeah, I definitely can't count on that. I know he was the guy last year when Henry got hurt from, you know, one game here, one game there, but he was never consistent. So I don't know that he will be, even if he has to spell Henry for a while. So that finishes the injuries for this week. Thank God.
Are you kidding me? You're not talking about one of the most impactful injuries from the fantasy football player's favorite position, Harrison Butker. I'm pretty confident he's not going to play this week.
Well, the game's already going on.
Got to get those out of his lineup. I know everybody's starting him.
I mean, the game's already going on. So we scrapped all the Kansas City injuries. And I mean, because we could have talked about Keenan Allen, too, if we would have recorded earlier in the week.
People want their kicker talk, man. It's all about the kicker.
Fuck kickers.
I did see that injury though, and man, it was a great kickoff, even though he landed on his ankle. So, how he walked off the field, I give kudos to him. I don't think he tore anything, which is another good thing the way he landed. But yeah, that's definitely.
My buddy did a 9-way parlay last week, and the last thing he had to hit was Harrison Butker over 2.5 extra points. Comes out, kicks that extra point, kicks off, and it hurts his ankle. And he's like, oh, my God, I'm going to lose.
That sucks.
But he came back in and kicked 3 more. Yeah. So,
no, that's good. All right, so we'll move on to the I'm going to start sits for this week. So, a few questions that we've been getting in different leagues going into the weekend. Who do I start? Would you start this guy over this guy, etc.? So the first one I have for you guys is Alvin Kamara or AJ Dillon. Tim?
It might be a little controversial, but I might start AJ Dillon over Alvin Kamara just with the injury. I'll wait and see how it goes, but if he's not getting a full practice tomorrow, like I would seriously consider it. I think I think the Packers are going to be able to run the ball this week. I think they're going to be in goal line situation. So Dillon's probably got to be the favorite on that team to get it come away with a touchdown. So it's probably the wrong call, but like I normally would say that's just crazy. But this week I'd consider it.
That's what we do here. We do crazy. Ben.
Well, I do not think you're crazy at all. I have both players in multiple leagues, and I've been tilting all day, trying to shuffle them around, get AJ Dillon up into my running back spot, put Kamara on the flex, see if I like that, see who I can maybe get in there instead of Kamara. But when it comes down to the ones where I just have that running back spot available because I'm stacked at wide receiver, Kamara has went to my bench in all of them. That rib injury is concerning to me. His usage was way down because of it, and I don't think it's a fluke. Till he's back to his normal volume, I'm going to be kind of looking at options if I have a good running back like AJ Dillon or someone like that I can get into the lineup and wait, I'm going to. So I don't think you're crazy at all, but I think you're completely right.
Yeah, I mean, if you ask me, like, who's got the highest possible outcome, I would say it's definitely Kamara. Like, you know, who has a better chance of scoring 50 points, like a Kamara, but
who's got the better chance of scoring 0?
Kamara.
Well, so right, yeah, I would agree. I would also be on Team Dillon for this one. I'm looking to find any reason to get Kamara out of my lineup this week, both because of the injury and the matchup. And I just don't think the Saints have found their offense yet. I think, you know, they kind of struggled last week a little bit. They didn't look like they were a group of people that were all on the same page. I think it'll come with time, but I think they struggled a little bit more than I would have liked. So, Ryan, what do you vote on the start set?
All the way for AJ Dillon. I mean, I was just looking at the over-under for him on Underdog was like 50 rushing yards. I was like, easy. Yeah. Against the Bears, done. The guy is going to be killing it. I mean, Aaron Jones, like, hoping he picks it up this year. I mean, he got a lot of skill, so I think AJ is just going to be their true running back, and then Aaron Jones is going to be that Eckler kind of position.
Okay. So 4 out of 4 degenerates pick AJ Dillon.
Love it.
So if you take Kamara out of your lineup, you are fucking insane. Because he's probably going to go off for 50 points.
six touchdowns.
Probably. we'll move on to another Saint with another start set decision that Ben and I were asked about. And that's Terry McLaurin versus Michael Thomas this week. So McLaurin's going up against the Lions, and Mike Evans is going up against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Ryan, who would you choose in this scenario of Terry versus MT?
So, I mean, he got only 4 targets last week for Terry McLaurin. Michael Thomas, I mean, that guy is pretty. So he got about 8 targets. But he's going against a better defense. That's a toughie. I'm going to say Michael Thomas. I'd probably take him over McLaurin this week. Even though Lions probably has a worse defense, I think just the way Michael Thomas plays, he's just going to get fed the ball. He'll be open.
Tim?
See, I feel like we're going to have to get a beer bet here, Michael Thomas versus Terry McLaurin, because I'm definitely Terry McLaurin, all based on the quarterback, Carson Wentz. The GOAT. It's going to happen.
The GOAT.
I can't tell if that's sarcasm or not.
Oh yeah, it's sarcasm. But no, just about the Carson Wentz. I'm on Terry McLaurin. He only had 4 targets last week, but you know, he'll bounce back. He's going to be good. You're not going to.
We already know. I was going to say Wentz's number one target though. It's Curtis Samuel. Come on. He's the best wide receiver on that team.
I actually like Curtis Samuel. I think he could add a lot to this offense. I don't think Dotson's gonna, you know, deliver like he did in week 1. But I think Terry's just, you know, he's a good player. He's gonna deliver, and it's mostly about that matchup against the Lions. The Lions are just gonna let him throw all over the place.
Yeah. I mean, so Samuel was a guy that Rivera wanted because he's a gadget guy. So and that's exactly how they're using him on sweeps and stuff like that. So he's definitely going to have a role, but I'm on Team McLaurin as well. The matchup is much softer this week against Detroit. And I do think that Terry and the skill will, you know, draw the additional targets this week. Thomas, the last 2 games against Tampa, has had abysmal numbers. He's had a few good games against them in the past, but that was with Drew Brees. He's also had 2 years off. So
I was going to say, wasn't it like the 90s the last time he played?
Wow. Yeah, Joe Montana was still playing. Now, Thomas had some really good games against the Saints, 180 yards, something like that. Another one close to 200. And he's had, you know, a few games over 100 against him as well. But the last 2 have not been that good. And like I said, Michael hasn't played in 2 years, so. And Tampa's defense is really good. I expect Jameis to be pressured quite a bit. I expect that Thomas is going to be covered, you know, probably double covered for most of the time. Landry, I expect to get fed a little bit underneath. And there's probably going to be a bunch of gadget plays with Taysom Hill. So I don't know that Michael Thomas has a very good game. He's easily somebody I can take out of my lineup and not feel bad, because let's face it, he hasn't really been in your lineup for a couple of years and you've had to make that decision anyways. Ben, your thoughts on this?
Oh, we're going to be split on this one. So while we were 4 for 4 on AJ Dillon, we're split on this one. I like Michael Thomas. I'm kind of fading Terry McLaurin this year, until he shows me otherwise. Yeah, and then Michael Thomas, like the Tampa defense is mainly known as a super good run-stopping defense. They are good, obviously, in their secondary, but I think Michael Thomas is the better player between the two. At full speed, they're both good, but Michael Thomas is elite. Like, he was the wide receiver one, no doubt, when he was healthy.
Talent for talent, I don't think
he looks exactly. And I think he's going to get the opportunity. They're not going to go away from him. Kamara's limited. All those things lead to more targets for Michael Thomas. He'll probably close to double Terry's targets again, which is going to, it just, he might not get the touchdowns for you, but the yardage is going to go up. I don't know. Not big on Terry this year. Do think they're going to lean towards Dotson, Samuel, McKissick, and Gibson. Just keep Wentz safe with the shorter throws. Don't stretch the field too much. Wentz doesn't really throw it deep too often. They'll keep him safe that way.
Yeah, and that's the piggyback. Like, I will say that the question was, who do you think is going to do better, not who is actually going to have a great fantasy day. So that's the key there.
Well,
erroneous on all accounts. Terry McLaurin, he's going to deliver. The reality is, actually, I think Michael Thomas is going to have a pretty good week. But I think Terry sneaks into like the top 12 this week. I think Michael Thomas probably more like a back end wide receiver too.
Yeah,
definitely startable though.
I'd probably even layer this bet, like, decision even more of how much I think Terry's not going to this specific week. I would say Johan Dotson and Samuel have better fantasy weeks than Terry.
We got a beer bet.
All right. Our first four-way on the show. So we'll see. We'll see on Sunday who actually wins. Ryan's added a little.
You didn't tell me anything about a four-way before I agreed to be on this show.
Well, I knew you'd be in for it.
They're always a surprise.
That would never turn you away, Tim.
Nobody plans a four-way.
No, they just kind of happen, right? At least everyone I've ever been in, it just kind of happened when I showed up.
It's always organic.
So move on to the next one. It's Cam Akers and J.K. Dobbins. I think this is probably going to be a round of Dobbins. I don't expect anything out of Cam Akers for several weeks. I think Henderson right now has that role kind of locked down. They'll ease Akers back into it and see if he improves. But from the games that we've seen both last season and this season, he's just not looked that good. Ryan?
Yeah, I mean, I 100% agree with you. I think Cam Akers is – I don't even give him till week four till he actually starts putting up decent numbers. Darrell Henderson looked great. He was efficient in a lot of ways. Obviously, the Rams' offensive line is kind of a deterrent there. But Dobbins, the way I feel about him is – the Ravens have been pretty they're not forcing any of their running backs back in. And I think that the fact that he's going to play and be there means he's ready to take reps. So I think he's going to get featured. Ben mentioned it earlier, I believe. So I think he's going to, you know, they're a run first team. So it's going to happen. He's going to have a great weekend. And yeah, they're playing what, the Jets? Yeah. He's going to have a great weekend for sure.
Tim?
See, this is very easy for me. I'm going Akers without a doubt if J.K. Dobbins doesn't play. Otherwise, it's J.K. Dobbins.
Nice redirect.
Nice. I like it. Ben?
I think Dobbins, if he plays, is the guy. Better running team, better running back. I've been fading Akers the last 2 years. Not a big fan. That was pre-injury. Dobbins, I was high on before his injury, so I'd like to think that he's going to come back and be the guy he was when he went out. J.K. Dobbins all day.
This is just gross, though. I hope nobody really has to make this decision.
Well, these are real decisions. So the next one is DJ Moore versus Elijah Moore. Ben, you can give us your take on DJ Moore being our resident Panthers fan.
This is going to sound so homer, but I'm going to go DJ Moore just on the matchup. The Ravens are a lot tougher of a defense than the New York Giants. Baker did seem to find a stride in the fourth quarter, had a much better passer rating, like 150 yards, I think, in the fourth quarter, 130, 150, something like that. Ran one in, threw one. A lot of targets to Robbie, but I think DJ is going to get his, CMC will get his. They'll open up the passing game more. They've said they wanted to continue to be a passing team. If Elijah Moore wasn't playing the Ravens, I probably would lean that way. But this week, I think I'd still stick with my guy.
Tim?
Yeah, to me, this is pretty easy. You just rank all players in alphabetical order. So D becomes a 4E, so it's DJ Moore. No, I think it's DJ Moore. Like, I don't know. I love DJ Moore. Like, I have him on so many dynasty teams, and I just knew, like, I started so many dynasty teams back then, DJ Moore, Juju Smith-Schuster, and I'm just like, I'm just going to crush people for years. It's been pretty much nothing but disappointment, but, like, I can't stop believing in the guy. He had a pretty tough matchup last week, so I'm just hoping that that's really the reason why he was held in check and that he can just, you know, he can soak up the targets, compile those yards. If you look at his numbers, you know, so far in his career, he's had really, you know, a top yardage career so far. It's just, he's going to keep it going. He delivers, you know, 1,000-plus yards pretty much every year. So it's really just about getting some touchdowns going. So I'd fire him up, full confidence. I like Elijah Moore, like, in general, but I would try not to start him this week. I'd stay away if I could.
Ryan?
Well, we're split here for me. Yeah, I actually think the opposite. I think DJ is just, I don't know what it is about the Panthers. I like Baker there. Hopefully the first game is kind of getting thrown into the fire and he kind of gets a better idea of the system and how it's going to play out. But yeah, I just stay away from Panthers right now. That's how I feel. And Elijah is getting targets. And even though the Ravens defense is better, their DBs are not, actually. I would say the Panthers' DBs are way better than the Ravens, and that's going to equal Elijah just doing 100%.
Yeah, but you realize that Elijah Moore is going to be matched up against Ward, right? Because they're playing Cleveland?
I thought they were playing – wait.
The Jets played Cleveland.
The Jets are playing –
They played the Ravens last week.
Cleveland. I thought they were playing the Ravens.
They played the Ravens last week. They played Cleveland this week, so he's going to get he's going to get Ward.
Unless they put him on Corey Davis. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't
which is Corey possible. Which is more, definitely possible. Yeah. But Cleveland's secondary is not terrible. So,
yeah. I mean, that's a tough bet. It's whoever Ward's going to be on most of the time. If they do pick Corey Davis, then, oh, my God. Oh, sorry. I had to stop that. That was a heck of a touchdown.
That was a beautiful catch by Mike Williams.
Yeah, Mike Williams. Who? Staying up. Yeah,
that's what you get for talking shit on him.
That was a push off. Dude, that was a push off. Throw the flag.
But
it was
a nice
catch,
I'm
though.
Yeah,
but
no,
it was definitely a push off.
It definitely matters about Ward. That's the deciding factor. I mean, Ward's a shutdown, so. I don't know what it is, man. DJ Moore, like, I love, he's an amazing receiver. But he's just never consistent at all.
So Corey Davis,
and so I'd rather
on PFF right now, Corey Davis against all corners for Cleveland, 37.3% rating, which is below average. Elijah Moore, 35.5% below average. DJ Moore is, hold on, I got to scroll up, 49.1% against the Giants. So,
yeah.
Best chance to change your answer.
I'm going to still lean
Elijah. I love it.
So I am also of that choice. I'm also going with DJ Moore. I think right now the only Jet you probably can start is Michael Carter.
Yeah.
And that's
really Breece Hall.
Breece Hall stuck.
I'm standing on my hill. I ain't going to get off it.
I'm not starting Breece Hall because I want to. I'm starting Breece Hall because I have to.
Absolutely.
We'll get there.
Because where you drafted him, you do have to, unfortunately, which is something we're going to get to. Well, let's just do it right now. Breece Hall or Michael Carter? I'm team Carter. Tim, you're team Breece.
Carter.
I think it's Carter.
Okay. Yeah. Ben?
Yeah. I like Breece Hall for continuing. They'll ramp him up, I think.
This week.
This week?
I don't care about next week. This week.
I don't think it's going to take a long time.
Have you seen the Jets offense?
I have. He's definitely the better runner between the tackles, but I think they're going to have to pass. I'm just weighing this out here. I think you got to go stick with Michael Carter for another couple weeks. But I do think eventually it's going to go the other way.
So at what point do you become concerned with Breece Hall? How many weeks in?
Six.
Okay. That's fair. I think that's a fair number. So a round of Carters for this week. I think that's probably the best choice.
Yeah, I think Breece Hall can still be fine. And unfortunately, I do have him in like three leagues. And in those three leagues, I pretty much got to start him.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. Hopefully he gets you 10 points.
Yep, 10 points. Yeah. That's what I'm looking for. 10
points is kind of what you're looking for on a flex. So we'll move on to what I think is an easy question, but you guys might not. Trey Lance or Aaron Rodgers this week? I'm on Team Rodgers. Ryan?
Yeah, I mean, it's Aaron Rodgers all the way. I mean, as he always says, quote unquote, I own the Bears.
He does. So, he does own the Bears.
He's gonna go out there and just freaking do what he does best, especially if Lazard's there.
Tim.
Yeah. So the Bears' defense, from everything we know, is just terrible. It's like, I'm pretty sure if you give me 50 attempts, I could complete one pass against them. That's how bad they are. The question really is like, what do we think the Seahawks are? Is like the defense as good as we saw on Monday? Like, that actually doing a decent job of shutting down the Broncos. I know that they just got lucky twice on the goal line, but like for what we expect from the Seahawks, they looked pretty decent. So based on that, it's like, do you really want to gamble with Trey Lance even if he may have a good week? I think it's got to be Rodgers.
Yeah. My thing with Seattle's defense, they've had, 3 months to prepare for Russell Wilson. They know Pete Carroll knows everything about him, how to hurt him, how to take him, you know, make him ineffective in the game. And they were able to do that for a decent amount of the time. So I think that's more what Seattle's defense was. I don't think that's something that they can repeat, but it might be something that they can repeat against a rookie quarterback who is already struggling with accuracy and decision making on the field. Ben?
So last week, Trey Lance got to play football in a pool. Looked like a really good time. Took away his legs. Nobody had a good game. I think you're going to see a big difference playing back at home in San Francisco. Hopefully not in a pool. I like Lance this week over Rodgers. I think Rodgers' weapons are so bad in the passing game, and he doesn't have the rushing upside that Trey Lance has. The Seattle defense, I think, got a massive boost last week with the emotion of playing versus Russell Wilson, the prep versus Russell Wilson, Pete Carroll's knowledge of Russell Wilson, and that crowd was insanely loud. Russ did not like that. A couple of lucky plays at the goal line. I think you're going to see the Niners come out looking a lot better, a lot more polished, running the ball more, and that includes Trey Lance running the ball. If he runs you in for two touchdowns, which is completely possible against that Seattle team, I think you got the upside of him over Rodgers all day.
Tim, what's going on with Mahomes here?
He definitely didn't just throw an interception. That he caught like off his face, off his knee.
I don't know. They called that Edelman catch in the Super Bowl a catch. So.
Oh my God, dude! Come on. All right,
that was like.
We're not going to
talk. It's not a catch. It'll get over.
We're not going to talk about this. But what we do need is I got a start tip for you. Juju Smith-Schuster or Marquez Valdez-Scantling? Who are you starting this week?
Juju.
Oh,
dude, 1 of 1 for 4 for Juju.
Yep.
Like halfway through the third, 1 of 2 for 6 for MVS.
Yep.
2 of 2 for 38 for Hardman. Like, what the hell is going
yeah,
on here?
I have a league where I have Juju and Hardman. And I have Hardman on the bench. I put Juju in.
This is what I thought was going to, you know, what I thought the issue was going to be for the Chiefs, you know, going into the year. Obviously, Arizona, I mean, don't they have DB issues too, cornerback issues? Their defense is just like trash this year. So, I mean, obviously Patrick Mahomes will make magic happen. That's how good he is. But this is kind of, I think, what is, when they play good teams and good defenses, this is what's going to happen.
Yep. Yeah, this game's pretty much, I mean, even though they're down by 10, it feels like this game has been controlled by the defense. I mean, Chargers, two huge stops on third and short. Chiefs had a good stop on third and short. It's like, you know, if we didn't just have that last touchdown, we're looking at a 10-7 game at halftime. It was like first half was pretty much all defense.
Yeah. I expected a fairly low scoring game being two division rivals in a Thursday night game. So hopefully it gets close. But what was the over under, like 46.5?
I don't remember for sure.
Or something.
Yeah, I don't remember. But I'm going to say, I got to say, KC's defense, man, they're looking still pretty good. They're
better. KC's defense this year is much better than they have been in past years early in the season. You know what I mean? That usually they get better when they get closer to the playoffs, but they've actually been pretty good last week and so far this week.
I'm seeing over under at 52.5.
52.5? Okay. Yeah.
I just feel like this year alone was just showing like how smart the organization is, like how they built their team, though. Is just, they have a young cast in offense. Their defense is always going to be free agents kind of acquiring and picking good pieces, but they've done a great job of like rebuild with keeping a playoff mentality.
Yeah. So we got one more start sit, and then we got a few pump the brakes, and we'll finish up. So Drake London or Johan Dotson this week, Tim?
Drake London, like no question for me. He's maybe the number one in that team. Like I, you know, want to believe in Kyle Pitts. Like there's so much pump, you know, pumped up for Kyle Pitts. People believe so much. I've always been like a little doubtful. Like I believe Kyle Pitts is like a lock for a top 10 tight end in fantasy, right? Mm-hmm. But like a top one, two, like I'm skeptical. And like my league that I, not the highest money league, but the league I care about the most, I took Pitts in the third round. So like just guarantees he's not going to be that good. Drake London's probably going to lead that team in targets this year. And Dotson, I still think is probably the third option on his team. Best case, like second, but I think he's probably the third on that team.
Yeah, that's what I would say too. Ben?
Yeah, this week's Drake London for sure. I do not like the Kyle Pitts slander. Love Kyle Pitts. If you have him and you want to trade him to me, feel free to come send him. But I like Dotson too. But this week, definitely Drake London.
Yep. Drake London all the way for me as well. I mean, that team, ooh, Kyle Pitts and Drake London, when they get Bryce Young, man, that team's going to be fire.
Holy shit, dude. Clyde made a good play. What is this?
Well, we didn't go down on
Chargers,
the
first. Chargers are screwed.
Jeez.
I thought we improved our run defense. What happened there?
Well, that was a pass. But yeah. Usually you hit him, like you just blow at him a little bit and he falls over. So yeah. Taking a hit and keeping on going, that's pretty good. So, all right, we'll move on to the last segment, and we got a few pump the brakes. A couple, you know, week one every year, a few guys do really well, and everybody runs right out, grabs them on waivers, spends a ton of fab. Some of these guys were, you know, probably the product of poor planning, just right place, right time. So before you overreact, you might consider who these guys are and, you know, what they've done in the past. So the first one we have, Gabe Davis. I know a lot of people were predicting a breakout season from Gabe. 4 catches, 88 yards, and a touchdown. I want to say that was on 5 targets or 6.
Yeah, the volume wasn't huge.
No. So, I mean, to me, you know, he had one big play, got the touchdown. I'd like to see more volume first before I really am, you know, making him an every week start. But definitely picked up where kind of where he left off last season. So I'm watching, but I'm not completely convinced yet. Tim, what do you think about Gabe Davis?
I mean, I don't know what else you got to really do to believe in Gabe Davis. He led the team in snaps last week. Like, I am all in on Stephon Diggs. To me, I was drafting Diggs as like the second or third wide receiver off the board. I was Justin Jefferson, and then like real conversation between Cup and Diggs and Jamar Chase. But like, I got so much Diggs this year, and I believe in him. But like, that offense with Gabe Davis, like, I mean, why you got to start him? There's no way you're benching him. Like, fire him up. One of the best quarterbacks in the league, playing every down.
Yeah. Ben?
I'm full steam ahead with Gabe Davis. Not pumping the brakes at all, hitting the gas. Didn't love the volume, but the guy just catches touchdowns. And on that offense where those opportunities for touchdowns are going to be there every week, can't fade him. Play him.
Ryan?
Full steam ahead. I think Davis is – I think they're putting full into their plans. You know, it's not just like, hey, we're going to throw you out there and see if it happens. I think he's heavily in all their plans. And, you know, obviously Diggs will get the bigger coverage of the better, you know, cornerbacks or DBs. So, yeah, Gabe Davis all the way this year.
All right. So that's three full steam aheads and one pump the brake. So we'll move on to Antonio Gibson. Obviously, the beneficiary of the situation. Last week, 58 rushing yards, 7 catches for 72 receiving yards. One of Carson Wentz's favorite targets last week. Obviously, he was out of the doghouse for a week. Are we concerned at all with Gibson? Or are you guys full steam ahead on him as well? I mean, I'm kind of thinking where he got drafted, you kind of have to keep starting him, but are you looking for reasons to take him out of your lineup if you do have him in redraft? Ben?
Yeah, so I'm doing what you should never do when you drive, and I'm riding my brakes, but I'm still driving. Cautiously optimistic that they're finally giving Gibson that pass catching work. Hopefully we see it on a consistent basis. I liked what I seen when he had the ball. He looked good. Brian Robinson is back practicing, I think.
Yeah, he was back practicing. Crazy. Today.
To me, that's crazy. But
he was put on IR, right? So he can't come back till week 5.
That's still nuts to be, 2 weeks out from getting shot and you're back playing football? That's crazy. Obviously, the rushing yard's not great at 58. No touchdowns, but you can get a running back that's going to get you 7 catches for 72 on a weekly basis. And then add in some rushing work. I like that.
Tim?
Yeah, so it depends on, are we talking just this week or are we talking just moving forward? Because this week, I mean, to me, he's a lock. I'd be looking for reasons to get him into my lineup. Like, once Brian Robinson comes back, there's real reason to be concerned. Like, I think Gibson's good enough that he can hold on to that job. You know, his whole career, he's pretty much averaged right around a 60% snap share. So he doesn't need to play the whole game to deliver. I mean, I think it's in PPR, the worst he's ever finished is running back 13. So no reason to really believe he won't. Like, sure, he's in the doghouse, but didn't really look like he's in the doghouse week 1. So as long as he can keep fumbling under control the next 3 weeks, I'm like looking for reasons to get him in my lineup. I'll probably still start him once Robinson comes back, but you know, you got to be cautiously optimistic or proceed with caution once he comes back and just see how that split happens.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm full steam ahead on Gibson too. I was kind of not buying into the whole, you know, fading Gibson thing in the off season. I think he is a talented running back. Like Ben said, if he gets more involved in the passing game, that, you know, he can be a three down back if they use him for that. So I like to see the opportunity he had last week. I think going forward the next few weeks, he does have a better opportunity, and it gives him a chance to kind of cement that role going into, you know, when Brian Robinson does come back. So I'm full steam ahead on Gibson, and I'm going to fire him up wherever I have him.
No, I definitely agree. I mean, I would be waiting to see how this next week plays out. But if Wentz continues to dump off pretty early and do short passes, it's just going to benefit him more. It was nice to see that McKissick wasn't just, you know, leeching off of his, you know, stat line. So,
yeah, it was good to see that Gibson got targets and they didn't just use McKissick. So we'll move on to Dontrell Hilliard, 8 rushing yards, 3 catches for 61 yards, and 2 touchdowns. I'm not buying into Dontrell Hilliard. I think it was kind of a fluke week with the 2 touchdowns. The catches is probably something that may continue. If they ease up a little bit on Henry's workload, he may be more involved in the passing game. But I'm going to pump the brakes on him for now and kind of see where that offense goes. If it, you know, if he has more involvement this week in the passing game, I might be a little bit more receptive to flexing him and see what happens. But I do want to see at least another game or two. The sample size is a little small for me. Ben?
Oh, same. Smash the brakes. Wait to see. I don't expect it continues. The team runs through Derrick Henry. It's not going to all of a sudden switch to another running back. If you picked him up this week, I think he might have wasted some fab. Because you're not getting 2 touchdowns every week on 3 catches.
Right. Tim?
Yeah.
E-break, eject, whatever other E-word you want to throw in there. Time to exit.
Yeah. Ryan?
Yeah, I totally agree. Just pump the brakes hard on him. I mean, I was just looking it over on one of his, whatever, ESP or RotoWire thing. He only played 11 snaps.
Yeah.
But, you know, obviously he made the most of it. So, yeah, I think it could have been just the benefit of timing. But we'll obviously going forward, be a little pickup to see if Henry, you know, does it. But they also have, was it Mr. Joey Chestnut or Julius Chestnut back there?
Yeah, they have a few guys back there. So if Henry were to get hurt, they'll use a committee like they did last year. So
I'm all in on Joey Chestnut if anybody gets that pun.
Yeah, right. You got to get the champion, right?
So we'll move on to Robbie Anderson, 5 catches, 102 yards, 1 touchdown. I don't know. I don't know what to think of Robbie. I really wanted to believe in Robbie last year when Darnold went there. That didn't work out. Wanted to believe in Robbie in New York with the Jets. That didn't work out. I just feel like I've seen this movie, and I cry at the end, and I don't know that I want to watch the same movie and cry again at the end. So I'm going to pump the brakes on Robbie Anderson, but I'm willing to be receptive to this being a thing. Ben, since he's a Panther, what do you think?
I don't know. I was surprised when I seen his line at the end of the game. Like, obviously, he scored that big touchdown. 75 of those 102 yards came on 1 catch. You're not going
to. But that's who he is.
Yeah, that's what he is. But I was surprised to see 5 catches next to his name because I was watching the whole game and I don't really remember seeing a lot of them because I guess the first 3 quarters were not worth really paying that much attention to. I don't see it continuing. CMC, I think they're easing in a little bit. So those catches are going to probably go down to 2 to 3 for Robbie. And the uptick for DJ is going to be there. He is the one. They know that. I'm going to say it's kind of a one-off game you're going to get out of Robbie Anderson. I liked him as a hit for best ball for these kind of games. But, yeah, unless you need him as a stash or something, but the weeks you play him, you're probably not going to get this. So, yeah, pump the brakes.
All right, Ryan.
I mean, everything's been said that I would say. So, Anderson is just one of those you just can't ever fully trust. So, pump the brakes hard.
Tim?
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. I don't really know what to think. Like, if we're talking about starting him, then it's definitely, you know, pump the brakes. don't dive all in and believe, but like, he's a guy that I might not want to start, but like, I want him on my bench. Like, I would love to grab Robbie, put him on my bench, and just kind of see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah, he's worth a waiver wire pickup this week just to hold and see, you know, how it plays out with Baker. Because I do know Baker has a good deep ball, and Robbie could be the beneficiary of that. It's just a matter of, you know, maybe guessing which weeks that he gets the touchdown. But he's another guy like Mike Williams that I just have trouble believing in. But Mike's at least making a case this year again, like he did last year. So maybe Robbie can do the same. So we'll move on to another kind of boom-bust guy that some analysts were calling for this year in the preseason with Devin Duvernay, 4 catches, 54 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Not an overwhelming stat line. The 2 touchdowns are huge, but otherwise it's a pretty reasonable day for a flex guy. If you put him in, he would have ended up with not, like 9.4 points or so. I'm not sure. I'm not buying into Duvernay. I think Bateman's the one there. The offense, other than Lamar, Andrews, and Bateman, I don't know that I'm really that interested in. Dobbins, when he comes back, if he's back to normal, sure. But other than that, I don't know that I really want any of those guys. Tim?
Yeah, this is one that, like, even more than Robbie, I have no idea. Like, nobody in Baltimore played that higher snap share, which I realize snap share is not the most important thing when it comes to receivers, but like, he produced. I'm probably not starting him. You know, he could be a thing. Like, we get 2 weeks down the road and he's a thing, and I wouldn't be shocked, but he's not somebody that I'm actively trying to go out in pursue right now. I'm full in on believing, just based on my exposure, that Master Bateman is the guy you want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Brian?
Yeah, I heard like a statistic out there that it's something to do with when you get under 5 targets a game, you know, like something like that, that it's not a good sign. So for him to even just get 4 and make something from it, that's kind of like more on the fluky side. You kind of have to be optimistically cautious, but I would definitely put him on my bench. I mean, with the target share there, you never know what could happen. So, I'd pick him up with a cheap waiver, but nothing less. You know, nothing. I wouldn't go after him more. So.
Ben?
Yeah, it breaks all day. If you're turning 4 targets into 2 touchdowns or 3 targets into 2 touchdowns, like with Hilliard, it's the same sort of.
And you're not a tight end.
Yeah, it's the same sort of sentiment I have. Like, that's not repeatable. It's not something you can bank on a weekly basis. So that's something I like to avoid in most leagues. Obviously, try to cash in if he has another big week next week. Try to cash in Dynasty if you got him somewhere. Super deep benches, maybe stash him. But I don't see it as something like, oh, I'm going to go pick this guy up and start him this week. I don't really like that play. So for that, I'm going to say pump the brakes.
All right. And the last guy we'll talk about is Christian Kirk. 6 catches, 117 yards, 0 touchdowns. Actually just traded him today to Joey in one of our leagues. I'm in on Kirk. I was a little leery going into last week, I won't lie. My concern was how he was going to do against coverage. I definitely think he's going to be, you know, the top target there, which is kind of what was expected when he went to Jacksonville. I don't know, you know, week to week, I'm going to have issues starting him depending on the matchups, but I do think he's probably a solid flex option for the most part if you have him. I still have a few concerns, but I'm not that concerned with it. So I'm going to be full steam with him. Ben, what do you think about Kirk?
Oh, I like the volume. I like that he really stands out ahead of the rest of the wide receivers on that team, which is a good sign. Six catches, 117 yards. A touchdown there makes a big difference.
Oh, makes a huge week.
Like, that's a massive week. But 6 for 17, if you can give me 5 for 90 even, like, that's a good flex option. And that's, yeah, he's going to be that every week. Full steam ahead with Christian Kirk for sure.
I think you alluded to the touchdown. I think that's probably what is my biggest hangup is I don't think Jacksonville has a lot of those touchdowns to go around. So his numbers may suffer.
I think that's the thing, though, that's just going to hold him back from, like, top
wide receiver. Just breaking out of.
Yeah, breaking out completely. Being
a low-end wide receiver, too.
But he's going to be a flex play that you can probably throw in every week if you really wanted to, as long as they're not playing Tampa or, like, the Ravens or something like that. But even then, like, there's going to be garbage time when those teams are getting beat up, and he's probably going to be the guy getting the ball, so.
Yeah, very possible. Ryan?
I mean, I'm all about Kirk this year. I think he's going to be fantastic. Not a wide receiver one, but he'll have such a solid wide receiver two that you're never going to have to worry. Just leave him in there no matter what matchup. To be honest, depending on the direction, like I've even like thought about if I had Lamb or something, what would I do? I would probably trade him for Kirk. That's how much I think he's going to be solid.
Tim, your thoughts?
Yeah. So it's like, I completely agree. I'm all in on Kirk. I would like to have him on my team. I don't have him on any team, so I'm a little disappointed in that. It's like, you know, a 7 some places, a 10 other places, and that's kind of like Kirk. So, you know, there's no way that's a fumble. A 7 some place, like I said, is 10 other places. So it's like comparing Kirk and CD. They're just like compared on a different scale. But I'm all in on Kirk at that price as a wide receiver too. Fire him up all the time.
Was that Kelsey that just got body slammed?
Oh, yeah, it was Kelsey that got body slammed.
Wow. Man, things have changed.
Gotta get in the end zone, Kelsey.
I need a replay on that again, because when I saw it, he wasn't even on the ground.
Progress stopped. Yeah.
And it looked like it hit the ground and it popped up.
Yeah. So it's not a fumble. All right. So that pretty much wraps.
Can I nominate one more? I know I did this last time. Go ahead. But honestly, Austin Eckler, like, he played less than 50% of the snaps last week, didn't really deliver. Like, I won several championships with Eckler last year, but 4 targets, 4 catches, 36 yards last week. Through this game, he's in the first half, I looked at the stats and he played over 50% of the snaps. But even coming here, 1 minute left in the third, he's got 11 carries for 32 yards. So he's averaging about 2.6 yards per carry on the season so far. Granted, it's early. Only 2 targets for 15 yards. Like, what's going on here, man? Eckler's elite. Like, there's no doubt about it. But this is scary.
If you had,
it's definitely a concern. I mean, you drafted Eckler high, but
if you had the number 3 pick in your draft and you didn't listen to me and take Justin Jefferson, I don't know what to tell you. Wasn't big on Eckler going into this year. Don't like his durability. Like, Herbert passes a lot more to his wide receivers than he does to Eckler. And you're right to be concerned. That's for sure.
Ryan, as the Chargers fan, what are your thoughts on Eckler?
Yeah, I mean, from 2 weeks, just going off of his sample size, and yeah, I'd be a little concerned. I don't know why he isn't getting featured into the receiving game, especially in this. Like, there's quite a few plays I saw that he was open too, but they're just not opting for it right now. I don't know if they're doing it for some reason, you know, trying to make some guesswork later on in the season. But as of right now, I would be cautious. I'd be a little like, oh.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he hopefully comes through at the end of the year. That's all I can say. But right now, the sample size makes definitely some caution right there.
No, definitely a concern. I mean, it is a Thursday night game, but,
yeah.
You know, compounded with last week, it's kind of, it is definitely something to look at. It is definitely concerning. So,
three plays inside the 5 yard line, and the Chiefs don't give it to Hall of Famer Clyde Edwards-Helaire. What the hell's going
on? Can't believe it. I think Mahomes needs to not throw to Asante Samuel Jr.'s side at all because he's got his number.
What the hell, man?
Like the guy's all over the field. Everywhere Mahomes throws, he's close to intercepting. So I think I would just look someplace else for now. So that's going to wrap us up for tonight. It's going to be a little bit long, but you know, we're doing one episode a week. We got four people on, two guests that join us. So we want to give you guys more exposure. So Tim, anything you want to say to our listeners before we go?
Nope. I appreciate you having me on. It's been fun. You know, I'm looking forward to watching this fourth quarter. It's about to kick off here. And, you know, we're going to watch the Chiefs get the W. Sorry, Ryan.
Ryan, your rebuttal?
Oh, man. I mean, it's going down to the wire like usual between us two. I think our defense pulls it out at the end, and we stop them. I mean, that's like you mentioned earlier, it's been the problem all game. So I'm a little worried about our offense right now. I don't know what's going on.
The Chiefs' defense is pretty good this year. That's what's going on.
Yeah. There's some stepping up right here, but we're going to be at both ends here. I think the Chargers are going to take it, and then this is our last hard game for the next. If we can get this through this, we don't have a hard game until Denver. So I'm hoping we can go on a 6-0 win streak after this.
Yeah. I mean, you guys have a pretty decent schedule, so get through this game, and things should look up. Ben, parting words.
Yeah, thanks for joining us, guys. It was a lot of fun, and your reactions to your own game were pretty funny. Had me laughing over here. Follow me on Twitter at DaydreamingFF. Give me some pregame questions. I'll answer them for you. Give us some thoughts for the show. Would be wonderful. And good luck, everybody, in week two. Make sure you got your Thursday night players. Hopefully not in your flex. Yeah, enjoy your week, guys.
Same. Hopefully next week we're going to start recording on Tuesdays, and so we can get the episode out Wednesdays so that we can remind you to put your players, Thursday night guys, in their respective roster spots and not in your flex. You can reach me at the FF Degenerate on Twitter, at Solinator in Sleeper. If you have a question for the show, you can email us at ddfantasyfootball@gmail.com. Visit our website at www.daydreamingdegenerates.com. Or visit our Facebook page, the Daydreaming Degenerates Fantasy Football Podcast. We appreciate you guys listening. Good luck in week two. And good night.
Go Chiefs!
Chargers on the way.